Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. What's happening to FAC? What's up? How y'all doing? So good to see you guys. You guys hear me okay? I sound all right? All right. Well, I'm Will Henderson. I get the privilege of serving as lead pastor at Lead Community Church. It is a church plant that you guys adopted. Whoop, whoop. You guys adopted us about a year ago. So I just want to, amen, give God praise. Amen. We were a little baby. He's still a little baby, but we were just out there, kind of like Moses in the basket. Amen. But FAC found us. And you guys have been such a blessing to us in our events and your financial support. So just a couple praise reports I wanted to share just to let you know that your support matters. And because of your support, recently we were able to see three young men invest themselves in ministry. Three young men who are going to be leaders, they're signing up for Crown 30. And because of your support, we've been able to navigate that for them. Amen. Also, amen, give God praise. Also, we've seen a number of conversions. We've seen about 7 conversions because of your support. Give God praise. Amen. And we've also seen these young, we've also seen 2 new pastors. Amen. Give God some praise. Yeah, one of them you know. I'll let him talk about that. But God has been faithful to provide leadership to come alongside my wife and I so that we can see God do amazing things through the disciples at Lead Community Church. So I honor you, I bless you, and I say thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Well, I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump into scriptures. Is that all right? Our Father and our God, I recognize that the best of men are but flesh and blood and have no power except as you lend them power. And so, Father, I ask that you would lend power to love your people through the ministry of the word this morning to the end that there would be fruit that would remain. God, my final request is that you would get all the honor, all the glory for whatever you produce in this time. We need you, Jesus. And if you don't meet us, our needs will not be met. And so, Father, I place these few words and I put them in your hand, a little schoolboy's lunch, and I ask that you would break it and bless it and multiply it to feed us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Happiness is a big deal for most people. Would you agree? For example, if you ask somebody a question, what do you want out of life? Well, you know, I just want to be happy. If you ask the question, what do you want out of a relationship? Well, it doesn't really matter so long as they make me happy. As a matter of fact, you might have had some friends and you asked them for advice and you says, hey, can you tell me what to do in this situation? How about this? How about you just do whatever makes you happy? Happiness is a big deal for people. We wrote songs about being happy. Don't worry, be happy. Love and happiness. Come on. Al Green, the late great, the Reverend Al Green. How about this one, Pharrell? Because I'm happy, come along, right? That song actually has a 24-hour video so that you can find happiness around the clock. Even in the Declaration of Independence, it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Happiness. It's a big deal. I recently came across an interview with Will Smith a few weeks back, and they asked him a question about happiness. And here's a little bit of a quote of what he said. He says, I am at the stage in my life where you realize no relationship, no money, there is nothing that can make you happy. You have to find happy here and here without any of those things. Will Smith realized that true and lasting happiness could not come from his power, pleasure, position in life, but that it is something a person must possess internally. True happiness isn't based on external circumstances, but it can be an internal reality in your life. As a matter of fact, Jesus makes this very clear in the Sermon on the Mount, which is his kingly manifesto, his first public proclamation that is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. And he makes 8 statements about true happiness and how to obtain it. Think about it. Out of all the things Jesus could have addressed first, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he chooses to begin his speech, his sermon, his message to the masses with a theme of happiness. It's been 400 years since they heard a word from the Lord, not including John the Baptist. And out of all of the things we would have liked Jesus to talk about, he chooses to talk about keys to true happiness. Today, as we continue in this series called A Summer in the Psalms, we will look at the introduction to the book of Psalms written by another king. King David. He was one of the authors, and he happened to be the predecessor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Jesus, he introduces this book of prayers and songs by pointing people toward a path of true happiness. But it is a happiness that is rooted in the Word of God, and he instructs us on how to discover and find and obtain this happiness by using the imagery of trees. David understood that the heavens declared the glory of God. David would often, I could see him taking walks around the Middle East and walks around his kingdom and allowing the Holy Spirit to give him revelations concerning the content of Scripture and the character of God. He would often describe God in ways that you would see in creation. Oh Lord, you are my rock. You are my refuge. You are my strength. And so in Psalms chapter 1, if you want to turn there and pull it up, I want us to focus on this thought this morning. Learning true happiness from the secret life of trees. Learning true happiness from the secret life of trees. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, watch this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Here it is. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here's the first observation I want us to make this morning. We can experience true happiness, watch this, when we apply this first key, here it is, by saying no to the world. We can experience true happiness, watch this, when we practice the discipline, here it is, of saying no to the world. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. The word blessed here is the Hebrew word, forgive my Hebrew, I'm gonna try my best to pronounce it, amen. It's Esher, meaning to be happy or a state of happiness. This word describes a sense of joy and well-being. Let me say it this way. The seasoned saints would say it this way. It is well with my soul. Yeah. This word, esher, or happy, or happiness, comes from the root word ashar. Watch this, which means to go, to be straight, to go on, or to advance. And so here's what David is saying. He's saying that the key to true happiness is determined by what kind of path you take in life. You can take a straight path or a crooked path. There are two kinds of path, two kinds of people, those who go down the straight path and those who choose to go down a crooked path. There are those who choose to go down a wrong path and those who choose to go down a right path. And in our text, David identifies these two paths and these two kinds of people as the wicked or the unrighteous and those who are righteous. He contrasts the path of those who walk with God in a relationship with him with those who do not walk with God, but they walk according to the godless ways of this world. So David says that a person can experience true joy and a deep sense of well-being from God, watch this, when they choose the straight path and avoid the crooked path that is traveled by those who do not know God. He describes them in the text as the wicked, sinners, scoffers. All of these descriptions really represent the soul tum of a person who's an unbeliever or who does not have a relationship with God. And you'll also notice that there is a downward spiraling path of godlessness that you see in the text that we must say no to. And so the first thing I want to bring out is this. We must say no to listening to the wrong people. He says, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You see, the walk, stand, sit. The first thing we must learn to do is we got to say no to listening to the wrong people. Walk means to go along with or follow a way of life. And counsel means a thinking or an attitude. It is a state of mind. And he's talking about don't take counsel from those who are wicked. In other words, those who live a godless life, unrestrained, or are not submitted to God and his word. He says, listen, don't take counsel from them. He says, oh, how happy is the person who doesn't take on the thinking or go along the path of those who reject God's way of life. In other words, following the path of the world begins with a casual association with the ungodly that leads to a path or a pattern of unrighteousness. In other words, instead of you rubbing off on them, they start to rub off on you. Therefore, we must reject those attitudes and say no to those actions of those who are in your life that do not align with God and his ways as revealed in his word. So here's my question. Who has your ear in this season of life? Who are the people that have the greatest influence in your life? And does their counsel and advice honor God and his word? Who has your ear? Who are you listening to on TikTok? Whose reels are you watching? Whose social media are you following? Who has your ear and does their advice or their words align with God's? The reality is that we know we all have that one friend who ain't quite saved yet and will tell you what you want to hear, amen, and not what you need to hear. That's right, you should have gave him a piece of your mouth, right? You should have told him off, right? We all got that one friend, right? But then we also should have some friends who love God, and know his word. I used to sell cars years ago, and one of my buddies came up to purchase a car, and so they run his credit, and an hour goes by, and 2 hours go by. I said, man, let me go in the finance department and see what's going on. And they're just cracking jokes and talking about this guy's credit and just incredibly disrespectful to my friend. Has him sitting up there wasting his time. And I lost it. I lost it. I lost it. I went off at the mouth and I stormed out of the office. And I didn't call the friend who would tell me what I wanted to hear. I called the friend who would tell me what I needed to hear. And I called him and I told him what happened, and he says, "Man, you know what you got to do, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." "You know you're going to have to go in there and apologize." I'm like, "Yeah." And so we prayed together. And I went and I apologized. I said, "Hey, that didn't represent my God that I serve. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That was a poor representation." "Oh, it's okay." I said, "No, it's not okay. But thank you for your kindness. We'll do better next time," right? And that was that conversation. Here's the point. Choose godly counsel over ungodly counsel. For some of you, God wants you to give godly counsel to those in your circle of influence. Many of you have gained all kind of wisdom over the years and have learned some tough lessons in life that need to be shared, that must be shared, especially to this up-and-coming generation. You got some scars and some battle wounds. And people, especially this generation, want to know, do it work? Do this Jesus thing work? Therefore, here it is. We have to take off the cover-ups and show people a real Jesus who heals and produces real scars as a testimony of his grace. God has called a number of you to impart something, that faith would be transcended from one generation to the next. And if we don't do it, there is no plan B. This downward spiral moves from the casual influence of association and walking with the wicked to this standing with sinners. It goes from sinners. It goes from walking to now standing. Here's the second observation. Say no to imitating the wrong people. It's one thing to say no to listening to the wrong people. It's another thing to say no to imitating the wrong people. The text says, "Nor stand in the way of sinners." Think about it. To stand means to stop, to be firm, to plant your feet. In other words, to stand in the way of sinners, watch this, it means I'm listening to and engaging in their attitudes and actions. I have now begun to take root and take on the habits and the lifestyle of those who live contrary to God's word and his standards. Standing with sinners will lead, watch this, to me planting my life in a path or a pattern that mirrors those who live in sin without conviction. In other words, wheat and tares. It'll be hard to tell the difference. Therefore, we must watch where we stand. Because casual association with those who don't know God, and you allow them to influence you to the degree that you now imitate them, here it is, you'll begin to look and live like you don't know God either. Now, I'm not talking about being on mission and being missional and being a friend of sinners. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about being influenced by the world that we're called to reach. Yes, we must insulate with the Word of God, insulate with the Holy Spirit, insulate with godly people so we can infiltrate the darkness and push it back to the glory of God. Listen, that's not what I'm talking about, but I am talking about if you go window shopping for too long, eventually you're gonna buy something. Come on, teenagers, amen. We ain't got no money, y'all. We just want to go window shop. And they go window shop, and that's, you know, can I get $20? Come on, right? Listen, if you stay on the car lot for too long, eventually you're going to leave with a car. Amen. Watch this. Here it is. If you stay around him or her for too long, you'll end up doing something you didn't want to do. Let me say this. By the way, God's grace is much greater than we often give him credit for. I want you to be encouraged today. The grace of God is often greater than we can perceive. As a matter of fact, apart from the grace of God, where would we be today? Apart from his grace in our life. And so here's the question. Who or what are you planting yourself around that would cause you to miss God's standard of what is right and to imitate what the world says is right? Who or what has God that you're placed around that would cause you not to live in alignment with what God says is right? Are there any people or places or things, here it is, you need to uproot yourself from? You need to remove yourself out of any situations you need to dig out of. And God want me to tell you this. Listen, if you're willing to move, he'll do the digging. Yeah. If you're willing to uproot, he says, I'll do the digging for you. Because some of you got some apps you need to delete. Some of you got some storage you need to clear. I'm talking about people, places, and things. Amen. There's about 10 people in here who need to be blocking somebody. Amen. Because of where you planted. Next, he says, say no to assimilating to the world. Not only imitating, but also we got to say no to assimilating to the world's way of doing things. It says, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. The downward spiral of going away from God will lead to a life that is miserable. And he says that miserable life will find itself sitting with those who scoff God. What does he mean by scoffing God? It refers to those who mock God, ridicule God. It refers to somebody who is actively engaged in putting down the things of God. Listen, you can do it by your words or you can do it by your deeds. Either way, we can do it, by our words or by our deeds. Therefore, to sit in the seat of scoffers is to mock God's standard of righteousness. I used to work at this heat treating plant or steel plant, and many years ago, this factory, and I had a plant manager who persecuted me for my faith in Jesus. He would make me stay late, high up my paycheck, put me in difficult work environments to where I struggled to keep up. And he wanted to break me. He made it clear. One day I come back from my lunch break and he sprayed crosses with yellow caution spray all in my workstation and put Little Wheels House of Worship and began to mock me in front of my coworkers. And I said, God, you're going to have to help me get through this. And he says, come on, what you going to do? I said, you know what? God sent his angels is protecting me. He's like, oh, you got the little Cupid heart? No, I said, God's angels don't look like that. They're actually some pretty fierce-looking creatures if you look at Ezekiel. And so he was like, well, tell me what they look like. And I begin to describe it. Here's what he does. He goes and gets a cardboard box, puts it on his head, and draws the faces of the four animals, the ox and the different imagery, and begin to flap his arms up and down like one of God's angels. Where your angels at? And I says, man, I'm gonna tell you right now, you can mock me all you want, but I would not mock God. And he storms off. The next day, he comes into work and he says, you cursed me. You cursed me. My cat started throwing up. My basement flooded and I wrecked my car. 6 a.m., he come in furious. And I says, listen, whatever a man, do not be deceived. For God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And he eventually asked me about my faith, and I shared the gospel with him. And he simply said to me, I have too much pride to receive something for free. And he walked away sad. Listen. We can experience true happiness by choosing not to be rooted in the world's way of thinking and living. That means we must say no to the world with our attitudes and our actions. Here's the second way we can experience true happiness. Say yes to God's word, verses 2 and 4. Amen. I know I got some Bible lovers in here. Amen. Amen. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. So we see a transition from the person who is rooted in the world, who rejects God's standard of righteousness, causing them to go along a path of unrighteousness, and they end up producing the fruit of unrighteousness in their life. And we transition from that person to a person who is rooted in God's word, guided by God's word, who follows a path of righteousness, and now he or she can bear the fruit of a righteous life. So what does it mean to say yes to God's word? It means that you make God's word a priority in your life. He says, but his delight